morning and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, March 12, 2018. The UN and South Sudan government continues to talk about the shutdown of Radio Miraya.
It's very sad to see that the structures that were envisaged in the bill, instead of being instruments of enhancing free expression, have become instruments for muzzling media freedoms in South Sudan.
And Egypt's foreign minister pays a visit to Juba.
Egypt will continue to play its role in providing all of its facilities in the field of capacity building, but also in providing, enhancing their ability in the agricultural, in the irrigation, and the medical and educational fields.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's media authority ordered the suspension of the UN-sponsored Radio Miraya's frequency in South Sudan last week. But SIN Bureau reports an agreement signed by the government of South Sudan and the UN mission in South Sudan in 2011 could have jurisdiction over the matter.
The media authority was created 2 years ago as an independent body, free from the influence or pressure of the executive branch, and meant to be a force to expand press freedoms. It was part of the media bills of 2008, which included progressive ideas that could push for press freedoms in South Sudan. But those ideas have been replaced by suppression of the press, according to Brian Adeba, Deputy Director of Policy at the Enough Project.
What you see right now is a very watered-down version of the bill and the structures that were formed as a result of what was tabled. And it's very sad to see that the structures that that were envisaged in the bill, instead of being instruments of enhancing free expression, have become instruments for muzzling media freedoms in South Sudan.
South Sudan's media authority has threatened to ban Radio Miraya because of non-compliance and refusal to be regulated under the media laws in the Republic of South Sudan. There is another agreement that determines what UDMIS and thereby its broadcast programs like Radio Miraya can and can't do. In 2011, the United Nations Mission in South Sudan signed the Status of Forces Agreement, or SOFA, with the government. The agreement defined the role of UDMIS and also granted its right to establish, install, and operate the UN radio station under its exclusive control to broadcast in South Sudan. Brian Adeba says the SOFA agreement granted UDMIS exclusive editorial control over their broadcasts, barring any censorship from the government.
That agreement actually bars any sort of regulation on Miraya by the government in terms of content, in terms of licensing, in terms of fees. You know, so the agreement itself allows for a latitude of freedom for Miraya FM and the UN. Actually, this is an agreement between South Sudan and the UN, for the UN to run Radio Miraya as it wishes. So if you really want to regulate Radio Miraya, you have to go back to the Status of Forces Agreement. This is an international agreement.
Adeba says the media authority in its early days was not designed to stifle press freedoms and actually had progressive language in its bylaws when drafted in 2008.
One, stipulations that allowed them to be independent and to conduct their work independent of any interference from the executive. So the tabling of the media bills took a long time, you know, so from 2008, I think it wasn't until 2012 that the media bills were tabled. And the final version that was tabled, that was signed into law, was actually watered down. In the sense that the independence of the structures that it was supposed to set up, like the Media Council, the Media Information Commission, and all those were watered down.
As a result, Adeba says, the independence of those institutions were greatly reduced so that President Kiir has much more say in how the media authority conducts its work. The media authority is supposed to oversee the media industry in terms of regulation, media development, and the issuance of broadcast licenses. In a press release issued by UNESCO in February 2016, the UN body said the media authority is expected to contribute to a vibrant, independent, and pluralistic media in South Sudan by curbing the increased rate of incidents affecting journalists and impunity on crimes against journalists, as well as create an enabling environment for the media to operate in. But Adeba says it's not done that, and instead, South Sudanese operate in an atmosphere of fear.
Where were our parliamentarians? When this was happening, no one was speaking up. This is the same issue that happened with the erosion of the interim constitution, the enactment of powers in it that limited a lot of the freedoms that we are now witnessing being eroded in South Sudan. When the constitution was tabled and this erosion started to take place, no one spoke out. And guess what? It came back to bite the people of South Sudan. It's biting them right now.
Adeba says when the media bills were tabled for years, there was little to no objection from the members of parliament or ordinary South Sudanese. Part of that was out of fear. Radio Mariah was still on air as of 6 p.m. local time. Ayan Dangbuer, VOA News, Washington.
Egypt and South Sudan signed a memorandum of understanding aimed at paving the way for what officials are calling greater political and technical cooperation between the two countries. Egypt's Foreign Minister Sami Shoukry is on a one-day visit to South Sudan. Nabil Biagio has the story for VOA from Juba.
The minister in the office of the president, Mayik Ayedeng, says Sameh Shoukry met with President Kiir and discussed relations between the two countries.
We just concluded a very successful meeting with His Excellency President Salva Kiir, where he delivered a personal and important message from His Excellency Abdel Fattah Sisi.
Shoukry says President al-Sisi is committed to supporting dialogue and other peaceful means to resolve the conflict in South Sudan.
I had the honor of delivering to His Excellency a written message from his brother, President Abdel Fattah Sisi, a message of solidarity, of continued Egyptian commitment to South Sudan, its stability, its security, its prosperity, and that Egypt stands with South Sudan and the brothers and sisters so that they can achieve their aspirations and obtain their security and stability.
Deng says Egypt supports the national dialogue President Kiir initiated last year. He says the memorandum of understanding signed today will allow for more political and technical cooperation between Cairo and Juba.
Egypt remains committed to ensure success of this young nation. Beside Uganda, Egypt and South Africa were among the first countries in Africa to come out in support of South Sudan national dialogue, and will continue to provide political, moral, financial, technical, and material support to the steering committee of the South Sudan National Dialogue.
The Egyptian foreign minister also met with the National Dialogue Steering Committee in Juba and donated more than 50 computers and printers to the committee. The top Egyptian diplomat says Egypt will continue to provide technical and financial assistance to help expedite the peace process.
Egypt has been following closely the national dialogue and has been supporting it both materially and in terms of capacity building and ability, and we deem that the current crisis can only be resolved through a wide dialogue between all of the participants to avoid the conflict and to regain the unity and stability of South Sudan so that we can concentrate on the developmental objectives.
Shoukry also visited Juba Teaching Hospital, which houses a dialysis center that Egypt donated to South Sudan.
Egypt will continue to play its role in providing all of its facilities in the field of capacity building, but also in providing for South Sudan areas of enhancing their ability in the agricultural, in the irrigation, and the medical and educational fields. And we view this as an important relationship.
Egypt has had long relations with the people of South Sudan. In the 1980s, Egypt sponsored a massive infrastructure project called the Jongole Canal in the Sud wetlands of South Sudan. It was aimed at reducing water losses due to evaporation and transpiration by diverting water to the White Nile and bypassing the swamps. It would have carried water directly to the main channel of the river. This project would have increased Egypt's water supply by 5 to 7%, according to some estimates, but it was halted in 1984 after attacks by the SPLA. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biaju in Juba.
The Minister for Youth and Sports in Jonglei State has banned three youth groups, accusing them of inciting violence and threatening aid agencies and their workers. But a youth leader says their group is not under the jurisdiction of the Ministry of Youth and Sports. Jacob Achek has the story for VOA from Bor.
Last week, Jonglei State Minister of Youth and Sport, Dud Abrambol, issued orders dissolving the Bor Community Youth Association, the Tuyis Welfare Association and the Duke Youth Association. Bol says the associations have been threatening international aid agencies, including the Catholic Relief Service, or CRS.
Some of our youth of Jonglei State went on the streets and they were demonstrating that they don't want Equatorians to work here in Greater Jonglei. Not only that, there were also certain group in a certain youth associations wrote a letter to a CRS threatening an international government organizations that if you don't leave this state, then your status will be under threats.
Denge Mayani, the chairperson of the Bor Community Youth Association, he says the Barnett Association are operating as community-based organizations and are not under the jurisdiction of the youth ministry. He also denies the groups issued any threatening letters to aid agencies or their workers.
We didn't involve ourselves in government politics, so what we are doing is our mandates and our duties. And if there is any CBO, as stated in the Constitution, that involves itself or exceeds itself to his prescribed duties or mandate, the Ministry of Justice and SSRRC have to call that organization, either they terminate it or they withdraw the certificate of registration from that CBO, but not all the association to be dissolved.
Mayan says the ministerial order banning youth association will not work. He says that they have registered it under the South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission as non-governmental organization under Chapter 3, Section 11, Subsection 2 of South Sudan's NGOs Act 2006.
With undersigned community-based association leaders from Greater Bor, Twitch East and Duke counties protest against the dissolution of our associations,
Mayan NGs, the Barnett youth groups, are engaged in discussion about education and public safety. Achek Mabior, Secretary of the Jonglei State Civil Society Network, he says Article 40 of South Sudan's Constitution allows the formation of strong associations and assembly. The three associations were formed in 2006 after the then semi-autonomous government of Southern Sudan was established. Last year, a known group of people had been threatening international NGOs operating in Jonglei State not to employ people who hail from other parts of South Sudan. Such threats have targeted NGOs workers who hail from the Equatorial region. For VOA News, I'm Jacob Achek in Bor.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a suspected deadly cases of meningitis outbreak in South Sudan. Find out where exactly when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's the best and worst thing about the first day of school?
You get to meet new friends, you get to interact with others apart from home, but still I will still have that part of being missing my family, my siblings, all the laughter, all the jokes we've grown. So it's going to be a bit 50-50 actually.
All in all, the worst things is also, since it is a new environment, adaptivity matter a lot. And also, you start counting down, when shall I get back, what can I do with this and that.
It is the best when I meet my friends, because it makes me to socialize with them. Because if I'm alone at home, sometimes I feel lonely if there is nobody at home. But if I came and I got my friends, to feel happy to be among them.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. World Health Organization and officials from South Sudan's health ministry are investigating a suspected outbreak of meningitis in Imatong State. The officials have also declared an outbreak of Rift Valley fever, which is reported to have killed five people and hundreds of livestock in Eastern Lake State. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Dr. Pinyi Nyibol, Director for Disease Control and Surveillance at the South Sudan's Health Ministry, told reporters at a news conference in Juba today that there are suspected cases of meningitis outbreak in the villages of Kormos and Imurok in Torit West County in Imatong State.
As of 8 of March, there were 107 cases and 28 deaths. This is what I know. So it is meningitis suspect cases. Of course, some were collected, they were brought to the National Public Health Lab. One case test is positive for gram stain. And now we'll be continuing this means collecting one sample. If there are suspect cases, we'll bring them here. And also for the quality assurance issues, we'll send them to Kenya.
Dr. Evans Liosi is the World Health Organization representative in South Sudan. He says the WHO is working with the health ministry to determine whether or not there is a meningitis outbreak in Torit West County.
There are no confirmation. We are taking samples from people, and yes, it's suspected. It presents like a meningitis, but it's not confirmed because all the samples that we've collected are actually negative of meningitis that epidemic.
Officials say more than 100 people have been admitted into the civil hospital and in the nearby surrounding primary health care centers in the past 2 weeks who suffer from symptoms of meningitis. Meningitis is the inflammation of the covering of the brain called meninges. Patients can die within few hours if not treated quickly. Health officials have confirmed an outbreak of Rift Valley fever in Eastern Lakes State. James Dangadoko is the South Sudan's Minister for Animal Resources and Fisheries. He says the outbreak was first reported in mid-December.
The Ministry of Livestock and Fisheries and the Ministry of Health would like to inform the general public that there is a confirmed outbreak of Rift Valley fever in Yirol East County, Eastern Lakes State.
Rift Valley fever is a viral zoonosis disease that primarily affects animals such as goats, cattle and sheep, but also has the capacity to infect humans. People infected with Rift Valley fever usually recover within 2 to 7 days from a mild illness, but a small number of people develop much more severe symptoms. Rift Valley fever has no treatment, but can be managed and controlled. In December, Health Ministry officials dispatched a team of experts to investigate the outbreak after five people died in the county. There was also reports of deaths and miscarriages in sheep, goats, and cows. Dr. Liosi says humans and animals tested positive for hemorrhagic Rift Valley fever.
We've been able to collect more than 35 samples, of which we tested for different suspected diseases that we thought of. And out of the more than 35 samples, six of them have been confirmed as Rift Valley through a virology lab in Uganda. In South Sudan, this particular suspect came from the Greater Yirol, now east of Lake State. And this is a community that predominantly live on milk and animal products.
Serge Tissot is the UN Food and Agriculture Organization's representative in South Sudan. He says communities must be educated about the dangers of eating animal carcass and avoid direct contact with the blood and fluids of sick animals.
It's important to destroy those animals to avoid infection of human beings. It's not easy. I know that in many areas in South Sudan, if an animal is not looking good, people kill it before it dies and they start to eat it. In this case, there is high risk for the population to be infected.
Rift Valley fever can be transmitted by mosquitoes. The virus was first identified in 1931 during an investigation into an epidemic among sheep on farms in the Rift Valley of Kenya. To date, there are no human-to-human transmission of Rift Valley fever documented, and there has been no evidence of outbreaks of the disease in urban areas. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio, in Juba.
The man who saw in opposition leader Raila Odinga as the people's president and was deported to Canada is now condemning Odinga for meeting with President Uhuru Kenyatta. Miguna Miguna says Odinga had betrayed the millions of Kenyans who supported him and the hundreds who lost their lives for him. He tells VOA's James Batty he and other opposition leaders were never consulted about Raila's meeting with President Kenyatta.
Uhuru Kenyatta is an illegitimate president. When he meets Raila Odinga, they too are meeting as two individuals. They did not consult their supporters. They did not consult their parties. They had no structured discussion. There were no issues that affect the people of Kenya on the table. There was no public participation. And they did not state the duration of time that their so-called dialogue will take. They did not name a mediator. They did not state the end game. So it was a very silly exercise by two desperate individuals who have lost relevance in the Kenyan political dispensation, as far as I can see.
When you say two desperate individuals, those are the terms you used to describe Uhuru the last time I spoke with you. Now, it seems that you are placing your leader, Raila, in that same basket.
Yes, I am, because I swore Raila Odinga in on January 30th as the people's president, as a result of which I was abducted at my house and held incommunicado and tortured for 5 days before being released, then forcefully removed, sent into exile. Raila Odinga has not been to my house to see the damage that was caused by the despotic individuals or the regime. Raila Odinga did not consult me, nor did he consult his party. Now, clearly, after my deportation, the so-called deportation, it appears as if either it was choreographed between the two individuals or Raila Odinga got recruited into this exercise because I announced that I'm coming back on the 26th of this month, and he believes that the revolutionary forces, the youth of Kenya, will take a very radical position on electoral injustice, the issue of extrajudicial killings, the issue of violations of human rights, disrespect for court orders, and the whole issue of governance and accountability. And they feel threatened. And now they got together in a cynical chit-chat, purporting it to be a unity. There are no Kenyans who are celebrating.
Listening to you, it seems to mean that you and the others feel betrayed. What do you think might have been the cause of this abrupt about turn by Raila? We know that the U.S. Secretary of State Tillerson was in Kenya. What do you think happened?
It has nothing to do with Tillerson's visit. As a matter of fact, before Tillerson came, he said, I am only going to meet Uhuru Kenyatta. I'm not meeting Raila Odinga. So it was very clear. And he has not met Raila Odinga. In fact, he has not held any meetings. He went back. He said he was sick. So there are no meetings that have been held. You cannot conduct public affairs on the back of martyrs of the struggle. Raila Odinga sacrificed more than 400 innocent civilians between August 8th and now. They died for him. Msando, the director of technology, IT, at the Electoral Commission, died because he refused to release the password for the KIMS kits and the electronic system so that we could have a credible election. Raila will have to answer to why Msando died. Raila will have to answer to Kenyans why on November 17th, when he returned from the United States, 18 young men died, brutalized by the police. That has not changed. Miguna is still in exile, forced exile. What does Raila Odinga have to say about that? That is the question.
That's Miguna Miguna, who saw in Kenyans opposition leader Raila Odinga as the people's president and was deported to Canada shortly after that. He was speaking to VOA's James Batty earlier today. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. South Sudan's media authority ordered the suspension of the UN-operated Radio Maria's FM frequency in South Sudan last week. But an agreement signed by the government and the UN mission in South Sudan back in 2011 could have jurisdiction over that matter. The media authority was created some 2 years ago as an independent body, free from the influence or pressure of the executive branch, and meant to be a force to expand press freedoms. It was part of the media bills of 2008, which included progressive ideas that could push for press freedoms in South Sudan. But those ideas have been replaced by suppression of the press, and that's according to Brian Adeba, who is Deputy Director of Policy at the Enough Project. South Sudan's media authority has threatened to ban Radio Maria because of what it calls noncompliance and refusal to be regulated under the media laws in South Sudan. There's another agreement that determines what UNMISS and thereby its broadcast programs like Radio Maria can and cannot do. In 2011, the UNMISS signed the Status of Forces Agreement with the government, and that deal defined the role of UNMISS and also granted its right to establish, install, and operate its own radio station under its exclusive control to broadcast in the country. Adeba says the agreement granted UNMISS exclusive editorial control over their broadcasts, which bars any censorship from the government. Egypt and South Sudan signed a memorandum of understanding aimed at paving the way for what officials are calling greater political and technical cooperation between the two countries. Egypt's Foreign Minister Sama Shoukry is on a one-day visit to South Sudan. Minister in the office of the president says Sama Shoukry met with President Salva Kiir and discussed relations between the two countries. Shoukry says President al-Sisi is committed to supporting dialogue and other peaceful means to resolve the conflict in South Sudan. Deng says Egypt supports the national dialogue that the president initiated last year, and he says the memorandum of understanding that was signed today will allow for more political and technical cooperation between Cairo and Juba. And finally, migrants in Paris are begging for more assistance from the French government as a 30-year-old migrant from Sudan who traveled to France through Libya across the Mediterranean died on the streets of Paris very near a migrant reception center. Authorities have not said what caused his death, but migrant aid organizations there say he shared a small tent with three other migrants and he may have died from the cold weather. His name, which was only known as Karim, could not be resuscitated by emergency workers in Paris. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Wachanika Kimia by Diamond.
Mana nambia nasibu mini mtu mzima na wendo la kutegemea Yanotokea jaribu kupiga kimya usidiriki atakuongea Mara nasikia vyaibu konda kwa jima eti ugomvi umekolea Kuchunguza karibu ni binti moja kwa mitandao anachochea Na jaribu kunyamaza ile moyo utaki Unanambia tisimba japunguruma uiseme haki Oh, najaribu kunyamaza Ataliza tagi oe Anasema wala unena kidogo oe Na mashabiki dangote Wananambia mbona usemi chochote Ah, siuko na usiku zote Ama ulezi nafanya uogope Ah, na media pande zote Wanalalama kiongozi atoke Nchi naingia matope Niende wapi na mimtoto wote Yani lawama
Wachanika
ikimu Nichonge
Kimia
oh, Ninyamaze mika
ikimia
Nisiseme
Kimia
Mama kanambia
Wachanika ikimia
oh, Nifunge mudomu
Kimia
Nipato mudoko sana
Mika
ikimia Nisiseme
Kimia
We've been listening to Diamond with the song Achanikaya Kimia. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Would like to hear what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Please join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
mitandao ni kila kona, uongo na kweli unashonwa, kila nyumba inanong'ona. Ah, oh Tanzania, mara Kimbembe Dodoma, bunge pinzani onegoma, juzi akapotea na Roma.